Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Global stock markets fell today, led by a sharp dive in Japan as traders awaited a packaged schedule of economic data releases this week in the U.S. and a key meeting of the Federal Reserve. Analysts expect to see a drop in unemployment when the U.S. labor market releases employment figures for July at the end of the week, but some say it will not be enough to prompt an immediate scaling back of the Fed's bond buying program, which has been helping to buoy the economy. South Korea's largest animal feed manufacturer has issued a tender seeking two cargoes totaling 140,000 metric tons of option origin corn for arrival by January 15th and 25th. That tender closes tomorrow. Buyers in South Korea have purchased at least 705,000 tons of corn and wheat in the last 12 days. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15,546, is down 12.5 points. The NASDAQ, 3615, is up 2, and the S&P 500 is 1689, and it is down 2 points.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Little change in weather will likely occur across the U.S. Midwest this week. We're expecting to see a continuation of mild temperatures across the area. Some warming will occur in the middle to latter part of this week, with temperatures coming closer to normal, but still on the cool side. We're expecting to see highs early this week in the upper 60s and 70s across a big part of the Midwest, and highs as we get into the second half of this week will be mostly in the 70s and lower 80s. There will be a few middle 80s possible at the end of the week and into the weekend across parts of the southwestern portions of the Midwest, and that's because of a very weak high-pressure ridge trying to develop across parts of the plains. That high-pressure system is not expected to survive more than a several-day period, and it will be weak, as I mentioned before. A northwesterly flow pattern will prevail across a big part of the Midwest while that high-pressure system is trying to evolve. The biggest difference that we're going to see in our weather during that period of time is the warmer bias that's likely to become a little more common across the region, but only for a short few days. We do expect another disturbance to come out of Canada next week that will bring in more cool weather across the region, and once again, our temperatures will be reinforced into the 70s and perhaps some lower 80s in the southern parts of the region. Low temperatures at night most of this week will be 50s and 60s. There will be a few upper 40s scattered about in the far north, and we'll expect to see the majority of these temperatures change very little, even with the high-pressure system off to the west. The forecast for rainfall across the region looks very much like it did late last week. A series of disturbances will try to work their way through the Midwest, and as each one comes across the region this week, we'll likely see at least a scattering of light shower activity. Most of the precipitation, though, is not going to be very impressive, and especially not in the areas that it's needed most, and that includes Iowa. Western portions of Iowa still critically dry. It would not surprise me, though, to see this high-pressure system developing in the plains later this week and into the weekend to such a degree that it actually helps to bring rain back into western Iowa. Even though the computer forecast models are not all over this right now, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see something like that evolve a little later this week. In the meantime, though, most of the significant rains that are being advertised over the next few days will be in Kansas, Missouri, and parts of the northern Delta, maybe catching southern Illinois and western Kentucky as well. Most of the precipitation will be locally heavy, with some 1 to 2 inch amounts expected on a daily basis across this corridor. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to see the same amounts over the same areas each day, but overall, through this next few days, we will see rain in most of the region I've described, as well as in portions of Nebraska and possibly the southwest corner of Iowa. most of the rest of Iowa. Illinois, areas northward into Minnesota and Wisconsin will probably not see much meaningful precipitation this week, with moisture totals running mostly a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to maybe as much as a half inch. Some of the areas in the eastern Midwest might see just a little bit more rainfall than that, but they too will likely see a light amount of precipitation this week. As we get on into next week and we get that little ridge of high pressure building up off to the west, we'll probably see at least one round of more meaningful precipitation in the Midwest. Most likely it'll come just ahead of the next round of cooling that will take place next week, so we'll watch for that. In general, though, it's not a bad summertime weather pattern. Crop stress is continuing in the drier areas of the western Corn Belt, and we'll see that prevail at least until significant rain falls, and maybe that'll occur a little later this week. The stress is hurting yield potentials, but with recent cooling taking place across a big part of the Midwest, the decline in production has not been as aggressive as it certainly was last year at this time. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's check and see how futures are trading. Hard red winter wheat, December, 7.04 and three quarters, up 3.5. December wheat, soft, 6.65, up 3.5. September corn, 4.94 and three quarters, up 2.75. December, 4.77.5, up 1.5. August soybeans, 13.51 1/4, up 1.5. November at 12.24 3/4, down 3.75. August soybean meal, 431.50, up 120. August soybean oil at 43.18 is down 40.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis of Midco in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you very much for asking. Looks like the markets may have caught a little bit. They made new lows for the move, both in corn and beans in the harvest month contracts overnight into the early trading today, but have turned around a little bit.
Yeah, we're seeing some oversold conditions on corn. RSI levels down, approaching that magic 30 mark, so getting a little bit of bounce off of that and helping pull beans back up here a little bit. August beans trying to firm up here a little bit, Dave. First notice day coming on Wednesday. Obviously, as we've approached first notice days here in the last couple months, or contract months anyway, it's led to some increased fireworks. So not expecting as much here as we approach August, not expecting much deliveries either, but, you know, the big break in basis we've saw over the last couple weeks, it maybe mute the excitement there a little bit here as we head towards Wednesday. But more than anything, it looks like just more of a technical bounce here. Like Drew mentioned, some areas still needing some rain. Eastern Illinois still needing some rain. Western Iowa, obviously, very dry. So probably offering a little support on the fact that those areas didn't get much rain over the weekend. But hopefully that'll change here over the next few days.
This is a crop that's very hard to get a handle on in terms of a national yield average, USDA around 156 or thereabouts. But I suppose you could make a case for a number smaller than that, or maybe even a number larger than that. Where do you stand?
Well, I guess a little bit larger than that. I think one of the things the crop tours have been noticing is what they've been going across. I know it's still a little early as the crop counts, or at least the pod counts and the crop stock counts are very high, so that might help yields a little bit here as we move into that August crop report. But really, these next couple weeks of rain is probably going to determine it more than anything. Most of the crop went into pollination in okay shape. It's the question of we're going to get enough rain to fill it out here as we move into August. I guess I wouldn't expect a lot of change in the August 12th numbers, but I would looking for maybe the overall yield just to be a little higher here as we move forward, Dave.
We certainly know that there are problems in Iowa, north of Des Moines, west of Mason City in particular, two areas that are of concern. I guess the eastern area, though, will make up for some part of that decline, I would suppose.
Yeah, I think Indiana, Ohio is still the garden spot at this point. We'll see crop ratings again this afternoon, expecting things to be steady, maybe even a little better. And, you know, we still got some possible yield adjustments around the Corn Belt. I know Iowa continues to say that harvested acres could still be down a little bit, so that could influence the production number before we're all said and done too, Dave.
All right. Thank you very much, Aaron. Right. You have a good day now.
Yeah, you too. See you, bye.
That's Aaron Curtis of MITCO, and he is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Let's look at the current tick on the marketplace. Hard red winter wheat, September at 695.5 is up 4. December, 704.5 up 3.25. Soft September wheat at 654 up 3.75. December, 664.5 up 3. September corn, 494.5 up 2.5. December, 477 up 1. Go out to July of 14 at 503.75 up 3/4. August soybeans, 1352 up 2.25. September, 1273 down 2.25. November at 1224.5 down 3.75. August soybean meal, 430.60 up 30. August soybean oil, 43.15, and it is down 43, now down 45. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.